Welcome back to the Stratomatic Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. On the phone with me again is Mr. Glenn Guzzo, a consultant for Stratomatic on the baseball and football games, as well as author of Stratomatic Fanatics, which is available at stratomatic.com. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here.
All right. For those of you that don't know, this week, Stratomatic, for the third year in a row, has released their football ratings guide. This type of thing has been around in the baseball world for, Glenn, how long? How long has Strato come out with their baseball ratings guide?
Well, it's been in various forms by different people. Stratomatic didn't pick it up on its own until, I would say, the 1999 baseball season.
Yeah.
But StratFan, which I published and edited from 91 to 99, published it every year, and then Stratomatic took it over from us after I folded StratFan.
Well,
even before that, John LaManna had been putting out ratings guides, and there were some other variants of that as well.
Well, anyone that is in a draft league finds, I know, has found the baseball guide to be very, very useful. And for years, I know that SomWorld, by Will Kaladze, and NFL Ed had kind of published their own ratings guides. And back when those things were around, I remember looking at them and kind of seeing, yeah, they could do a little better job. And so I just ended up doing it for myself. I was in a league. I started a league in 2001, and I came up with this rudimentary version of the spreadsheet. And I used it, and it ended up helping my team to get to the Super Bowl that year. I ended up drafting players like, for the 2000 season, Jamal Lewis, Mike Anderson. So I had 2,000-yard backs in my backfield, along with Dante Culpepper. I built this fantastic team. Later on, I took a small hiatus from Strato when I was coaching high school football. And when I came back after my first son was born and I stopped coaching high school football, I created that again. And 3 years ago, I want to say, I came to Bob Winberry with the idea of doing a football ratings guide for Strato. And I asked him if there was a way we could automate it, and Bob took a look, and he saw there would be enough of a market, and he started doing it. And so the last 2 years, I did it along with Bob. And then this year, I'm pleased to announce that Mike Kane has joined on and made it much easier. And if you are in a draft league, I think this thing is really, really good, and you really need to take a look at getting this guide available at stratomatic.com. Glenn, I have you on the line specifically because I want to talk about some of those players on there. I've got a beef with about a couple of those players that I need to pick, but I also just wanted to kind of get your input. You're very involved in the football card creation process. And so I wanted to get your perspective, much like we did in the last three podcasts, about these players. You ready to do this?
Sure. Fire away.
All right. Number one player I want to talk about is Tony Romo. In your article, available on Stratomatic.com, Thrills and Chills, the NFC edition, you called Tony Romo's card his best ever. Tony finally getting some Stratomatic love. But according to my formulas that I created to kind of rank the quarterbacks, he's number two overall. Wow. Tell me about Tony.
Well, first of all, look at your ratings formula. I mean, it gives heavy, heavy weight to completion percentage, correct?
Yeah.
And then it gives heavy weight to interception.
Yes.
Frequency for interception percentage, right? And
yes.
Then third, it gives significant weight to yardage.
Yes.
And that's pretty much how the overall rating is determined. Tony Romo was number three in the NFL in completion percentage last year. He was number three in the NFL among regulars in interception percentage. If your fantasy team was number three and in all the categories, where would you expect to finish? Probably number one or number two at the worst, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Tony Romo is number two in your ratings based on the things you give the most weight to. You know, and that's just his raw stat. That's not his, you know, so his Stratomatic ratings reflect his raw stat. He was number three in the NFL completion percentage. He was number three in interception percentage. He has a better interception percentage than Tom Brady. He has a, and Drew Brees. He has a better completion percentage than Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's only behind Brees, who set the record, the all-time record for completion percentage, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how you really quibble with him being number two overall. If the things you count most, he ranked number three and number three in the NFL.
Well, I think the one thing that stuck out to me, though, is I've seen him have some really good years in the past, like the 2010 card, but he didn't get carded quite this good.
Well, you have to hear something else that's really going to be valid for everything we talk about today.
Yeah.
You know, when we look at a ratings guide like this, and I think it's great, by the way, I would use it not just for a draft league, but I would use it for a stock team play.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of it here to dictate who should be carrying the ball for you, who you should throw to in certain situations, what you can expect, right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works for any way that you play Stratomatic. And so I'd recommend it to everybody. But we tend to look at these guys in a spreadsheet in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You say, look, Tony Romo's the second-ranked quarterback. But football is the ultimate team game.
Mm-hmm.
And Stratomatic football totally reflects that. So remember, you're going to have half of the roles are coming off the defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just all quarterback card stuff. When you're looking at it for a draft league, you can say, yeah, well, all I care about this card, I'll worry about the defenses later. I mean, you know, I'm not in control of my other draft. My opponent gets the defenses so much. But, you know, the cards are made with the understanding that half the roles are coming off the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at the contribution of teammates as well. And we'll get to that more with some of the other guys you want to talk about. But nothing is in isolation in Stratomatic.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be looking at what kind of running game does he have, what kind of receivers does he have, what kind of pass blocking does he have, what does that contribute to his overall package. But it's a huge factor as to what opponent he has as well. And the spreadsheet doesn't do any of that.
All right, next player. I know I'm going to be a homer with this one. Aaron Rodgers had a league-leading 122.5 passer rating, 68%.
Better than league-leading. That's the all-time best. That's the NFL record.
At the NFL record passer rating of 122.5, 68% completion rating, no real threat of a running game. How did he not end up with a top 10 quarterback card of all time?
Well, I'm not sure that he doesn't. First of all, let's talk about the several things we've already mentioned.
Okay.
One is the spreadsheet, it really doesn't reflect NFL passer rating. NFL passer rating, his rating was 122. The top passer in the quarterback ratings here, they run in the 70.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not trying, the spreadsheet is not trying to duplicate or simulate NFL passer rating. NFL mm-hmm. passer ratings give significant weight to touchdown percentage.
Yeah.
That's nowhere to be found in the spreadsheet. How many touchdowns did Aaron Rodgers have last year? 45? Okay, so if we start talking about touchdown percentages and throw in here, Aaron Rodgers is going to ascend. But he also ascends for another reason. The spreadsheet doesn't take into account the must runs on a quarterback card when it calculates completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
It just says, how many completion chances does he have out of 36? Right.
Mm-hmm.
36 chances right and 36 chances wrong. Rodgers has 9 must runs on his card. So you have to look at his completions per 27, not per 36, mm-hmm. to get a true passing completion percentage. Now, I understand the way the spreadsheet's done. It's valuable on its own sake for the way it's done.
Yeah.
But you know, this is not a true completion percentage. This is a completion chances.
Yeah.
Right. And even then, even without considering the must run factor, Rodgers is tied for second on short pass long. He's third on short pass right. Breeze and Brady, who are above him
mm-hmm.
on the short pass right, don't have all those must run. Right, so you start, Rodgers, for instance, has in the spreadsheet shows right short percentage 0.472. You have 47.2% chance of hitting a completion if you throw a short pass right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you take off the must runs and divide it by 27, the number's like 63%. Now you're talking something different. Rodgers has a fabulous card. Now, let's talk about one other thing about Rodgers. You seen his receivers?
Yeah, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings. Jordy's got a sick card.
Two guys who have maximum catches long pass.
Yeah. Right. And Jordy's got some fantastic yardage on that long pass.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. I mean, 93 and 84, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jennings and Jones as a third receiver has big yards. Finley, as a tight end, doesn't have as big a yard, but has a lot of catches, more catches than most tight ends going downfield. Even Driver, I mean, if you wanted to play four wideouts on this team, you could play with four wideouts. Most teams really don't have a fourth wideout to do much. So you have to take into account that when receiver comes up on Rodgers' card, he's going to get more catches, especially on the deep ball, than almost any, well, really any other quarterback.
Yeah.
Brady doesn't have that. He doesn't have any wide receiver or tight end with maximum catches on deep ball. Romo doesn't have it. Rodgers has two guys.
Yeah.
So does that matter? Of course it matters. It matters in the Stratomatic formula as to what the quarterback gets, depending on how good his receivers.
All right.
So again, it's not in isolation. You got to look at teammates.
All right. Well.
You make a good point. You make a great point about the lack of a running game
mm-hmm.
for Green Bay. But Rodgers has a tremendous car.
All right, next player, Dan Orlovsky, the former University of Connecticut Husky. His card, I tell you, I looked at the card, and I think it's a really solid fill-in player for draft leagues. According to the spreadsheet, I've got him number 9 overall. His flat pass is outstanding, and his short pass isn't that bad either. His guessed right has the same completion percentage as Alex Smith, Phillip Rivers, and Matt Flynn. Glenn, how did Orlovsky get so much Stratomatic Orlovsky?
I love that line. First of all, again, let's look at the stats, the raw NFL stats that contribute to the ratings that the spreadsheet counts the most. Orlovsky had a 63.2% completion percentage. That's higher than Alex Smith. It's higher than Phillip Rivers. It's higher than Eli Manning. It's equal to Ben Roethlisberger. These are guys above him on the list of overall ranked quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his interception percentage? 2.1. Way better than Rivers' 3.4. Way better than Manning and Roethlisberger's 2.7. Equal to Drew Brees and better, actually, than Matthew Stafford. Right? So there's only, on the interception percentage of the guys above him, there's only three guys out of the eight who are better than him on interception percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Look down the list. Who has better than his completion percentage, 63.2%? Only Flynn, who had 49 attempts. All right, so all of the regular quarterbacks had a low Orlovsky on the ranking, also had a lower completion percentage than Orlovsky. And almost all of them had a higher interception percentage. So for the categories that the ratings guide counts the most, Orlovsky was great in the NFL numbers. Now, where Orlovsky falls short is an area that the ratings guide gives a little bit less weight to, and that's the art. And I don't criticize the ratings guide for that. The first thing I want to know is, can the guy complete best?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to know is, can he complete it to the right team? But his yards are way off. And so if you think about that, here's a guy with a very high completion percentage, a very low interception percentage, and pretty low yards. What does that tell you about his passing game? Probably that he was a flat pass guy.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, when you look at the Stratomatic card, what does he got?
He's got
a great flat pass card.
Fantastic flat
card. A lot of teams in the NFL these days who don't have a great running game or who don't want to emphasize the running game use the flat pass as kind of a substitute for the running game. Well, that describes Indianapolis. But Orlovsky's right there. If you look at the numbers, again, the raw NFL numbers that contribute most to the things that matter in the ratings guide, Orlovsky's numbers you can't quibble with on the completion percentage and interception percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than everybody below him. He's better than some guys above him, Rivers and Manning especially.
Mm-hmm.
And Roethlisberger. He's equal on completion percentage and much better on interception percentage, but he doesn't have their yard. And so you see it on his flat pass more than you see it anywhere else.
Well, one of the guys in one of my leagues drafted, he had Peyton Manning, and he drafted Orlovsky to kind of help cushion that blow. And
sure.
Dave is going to be loving that card because that's going to perform very well. Next player, probably the one player that I've seen the most anticipation for taking a look at their card is Willis McGahee. While his guessed wrong is number one at linebuck, number two overall at off tackle, and number two overall at end run in yards per carry, he doesn't have as lethal of a guessed right column as I'd have expected, considering how bad the Broncos' passing game was. He does have a short gain at the nine spot across the board, but LeSean McCoy is better. And in fact, McGahee's guessed right card isn't even as good as his 2009 guessed right card. Glenn, I know a lot of people are going to be just flabbergasted about this card. Talk to me.
I think this is almost humorous. I think it's a great, you lined up a great set of questions, but I love to take them on. According to the ratings guide, McGahee is the number two running back in the whole set.
Yeah,
but how come he's not better?
But his guess wrong is fantastic. I totally get that. I honestly expected it to be a little shifted more towards his guess
right, and his guess wrong. What would you say if you're NFL general manager? Where would Willis McGahee be on your list of the running backs you would want most for? For doing what you said, guessed right.
Would
he rank ahead of Adrian Peterson? Would he rank ahead of Darren McFadden? Would he rank ahead of Steven Jackson? Would he rank ahead of Maurice Jones-Drew? Would he rank ahead of Gore?
No.
Where would you rank him? I mean, right now, if you look at his line buck right average on the spreadsheet, he's what? Fifth in the whole NFL on the whole set. He's behind McFadden. He's a little bit behind his teammate, O'Shawn Marino, who's a minor character because he has another carry.
Yeah.
He's behind McCoy and Reggie Bush. By the way, McCoy had more yards than McGahee, same average, and more touchdowns. All right, so I'm not too sure why people think McGahee should have a better guess right card than a guy who gained more yards and had more touchdowns, but he's behind McCoy. Even so, he's right there in the top five in the NFL. If you talk about heavy use backs, he's also top five, okay? He's top three or something like that. So, you know, relatively speaking, I don't know how much higher you expect him to go. Off tackle, guessed right. He's the heavy use back. He's behind McFadden. He's behind Bush. He's behind McCoy. That's it. He's behind Arian Foster in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people are going to quibble with that. Right?
So I think the people who are going to quibble about that are the Willis McGahee owners who were watching Tim Tebow thinking everybody that is going to play against the Broncos is going to choose run every single play, even on third and long. People are going to and so McGahee's getting all these yards. He's got to have the all-time greatest guest right card.
Well, okay. You watch Denver.
Yes. I live here in Colorado. Right. I've lived out here for the last 15 years.
Let's talk about two things, first of all.
Yes.
McGahee's 9 short game. Right. How many other heavy use backs have a short gain on 9 or better? Would you be happier with a McGahee card that at 6, 7, 8 was +4, +5, +2 and had a 0 at 9? Those are exactly the same yards.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Denver. Was Denver's running game the kind of pound it out, get 3, 4, 5, 6 up the middle, off tackle every play? Or was it a trapping run game that sprung people also on read options?
The latter.
Okay. Does that suggest something to you about guessed right running through the middle? I mean, McGahee had a lot of big plays.
Mm-hmm.
And guys who get a lot of big plays get those big plays on their card. And they have only so many yards left based on how many yards they really got against the opponent they had.
Mm-hmm.
All right, to put on the rest of the card. Now, I've watched film of McGahee's best run. And one of the things I think is fascinating, want to talk about whether Tim Tebow's a good quarterback. You know, everybody's going to look at his completion percentage, and they're going to look at his mechanics, and they're going to say, look, this guy is not it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the amazing ability to elevate the performance of his teammate. Look at the film on McGahee's longest runs. Several of them, maybe most of them, came on plays where the defense crashed down on Tebow on the option,
mm-hmm.
leaving McGahee with wide open spaces to go untouched for a long run, or came immediately after the next play after Tebow had sprung a long run for himself. Now, one more thing. Remember again, we're looking at a spreadsheet that looks at these guys in isolation.
Yep.
What about his strength of schedule? McGahee, the spreadsheet also offers you the team defense rating. And I haven't had the time, and I don't even know if I got the inclination, to crunch the whole Broncos schedule and everybody else's running back schedule right now. But Stratomac does do that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's at least look at their division. And we'll do something very simplistic. We'll just simply look at the run rating in first this column C of the team defense. Who are we comparing to? McCoy? McCoy faces Dallas. Run rating, good. McCoy faces Washington. Run rating, good. McCoy faces Giants. Run rating, average to good. Now, who does Denver face in their division? San Diego, average to poor. Kansas City, average to poor. Oakland, average to poor. Guess who's going to get more yards on the defense?
Yeah. Makes sense.
So you can't look at these guys in isolation to say, you have to look at it that way if you're a draft league because you're saying, but when you deliberately take a guy out of his environment and put him in a different environment, you have to expect distortion. Maybe it's a distortion you want. Maybe you know I can put this guy in a better environment than he had and he'll do better. But the fact is McCoy got more yards, more touchdowns, running against better. And I think that's at least supportable to say why he might have a better run right card than McGahee, even though McGahee overall still ends up with a better card than McCoy. He's number 2 overall in the ranking.
Yeah.
That's why I said it was kind of humorous for people who want McGahee to be even better than he is when he's number 2 in the whole set.
All right. Next up, The Buffalo running game, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. Fred Jackson's number 3 overall. C.J. Spiller's number 5 overall. You combine those two with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has a very good flat pass card. His short pass and long pass are pretty weak. But you've got a good ball control offense. Glenn, your thoughts about Buffalo and their running attack?
Well, first of all, Buffalo did have a good offense last year. They put up a lot of points. Again, New England, again, the Jets, again, Denver. And Fred Jackson, when he went down for the year, early in the season, he was probably the best all-around running back in the NFL when he did. He was having a tremendous year, also receiving as well as running. But he was popping long gains. He was getting the steady yards. He was catching passes and taking them to the house. He was really probably the best all-around back in the NFL at the time he went down. Spiller replaced him. I mean, these guys are not – Buffalo's not using both of these backs. It's safe back. The Fitzpatrick was a very accurate, quick-release passer. But as far as ball control goes, you're going to have to worry a little bit. You have to worry more than a little bit about Fitzpatrick's interception. You know, they're going to be able to march down the field against good defenses, just takeaway defenses especially. So I think what you're going to get from Buffalo is inconsistency. I don't think you're going to get a dominant just, I can dominate a team on the field because they're going to turn the ball over with the interceptions. They're not going to turn over a fumble. But they'll have a good offense like they really did. But they're, the team overall has holes. Has holes defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Has Fitzpatrick's interceptions, and I think they're gonna struggle to be a playoff team. But they were close to being a playoff team last year.
All right, wide receivers, Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz. Nicks was a max at all three levels, flat pass, short pass, and long pass. Cruz was one shy on flat pass, but maxed at short and long. Looking at the stats, I'd have expected Cruz to be a max at all three. His yardage is fantastic on his card. I mean, it's a really, really, really good card. So everybody, I can expect just about every league out there for somebody's gonna be taking him in the first round this year. Glenn, why didn't Cruz get the max at flat pass?
Well, actually, I can only tell you that there's formulas and stratomatic uses that applies the statistics that includes balls in the air. The expert evaluators that we use that I referred to in the podcast you did with me earlier. And it uses pretty extensive reading on the players. I would have expected Cruz, with all his catches, to come up max on the flat pass. He just missed that. But the way it turned out was he didn't. And so, you know, we go with our rating system. Now, looking at it a little deeper, Nicks probably was the more possession receiver in New York's eyes, especially early in the season. He was the guy carrying over from last year who was the number one target. Cruz came on a little bit later, and he came on as big as anybody. I mean, he was just awesome. And I think you look at these cards, you also say, who's more likely? I mean, Nicks is great. This card is fantastic. But for scariness, Cruz is even better. And I suspect he'll get a lot of attention from defensive backs and from safeties. It's a really close call. As I said, I would expect Cruz to end up back, but it's just one of those things in the way that the rating stuff worked out. Just missed.
All right, guys, to buy the 2011 Football Ratings Guide for only $13.50 and see all those breakdowns, like what kind of yardage can you expect from Julio Jones versus A.J. Green? What kind of splits is DeMarco Murray's card going to have? Is he worth a first rounder in your rookie draft? And Andy Dalton versus Cam Newton. Who's got the better card this year? All that and more, go to Stratomatic.com. Go to the shop section and on the left-hand side, click on other items. If you were in a draft league, you need this spreadsheet. You are at a distinct disadvantage if you don't have it. So go to Stratomatic.com, only $13.50, shop section, on the left, click other items. And while you're there in that other items section, look at the top left and you'll see a book called Stratomatic Fanatics, written by my guest, Glenn Guzzo, for only $14.95. Go get it.
Buy four and give them to all your friends.
It's a fantastic read, Glenn. When I first got that, shortly after it first came out, I read it very, very quickly. So nice job on that book. Glenn, thank you so much for being on the podcast again.
We'll do it again. Take care.
And we'll definitely have you back on in the future. So thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Stephen. So long to everybody else. Have a great season.
All right, this episode of the Stratomatic Podcast has been a Right Turn Media production. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. Email me with any comments or suggested topics, commish@HerculeanFootball.com. That's commish@HerculeanFootball.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.